Hi there, this is Austin Hetzler, the pastor of Christ the Rock Church, located in Amherst, Ohio. We at Christ the Rock are humbled and grateful to be a part of your sanctification today as you listen to this sermon. But at the same time, we want to encourage you to be a member of a good local church, and not to allow online sermons to replace the local church, and to continue to benefit from the life of that church and to give your spiritual gifts back to that church. Having said that, our website is ChristRockChurch.com. If you go there, you can find sermons, blog posts, and other resources, as well as our location and service times. You can also listen to our sermons on Podbean, Apple iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I, along with the membership of Christ the Rock Church, pray that this sermon will be a blessing to you.
Lord God, we come before you. And Lord, your word is such an instruction book to our soul. And that, Lord, we know that Romans 12 is such a pivotal part on how a Christian should live their life. Lord, we ask you to guide us and direct us, Lord God. Give us, I know we're tired here today, but give us that clarity of thought, Lord, that we could receive your word, and that, Lord, it will help us during our sanctification, that we will grow through it. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're finally at the end of Romans here with me. This is part three. The other two parts are recorded, so if you want to catch up with those, if you haven't heard them. I'm calling this one Living Out the Real and Living Out Real and Tough Christian Love. Martin Luther says, and I usually hold my quotes to the end, but I thought this would be great at the beginning because it gives a really good synopsis of what Romans 12 is about. He says, St. Paul teaches the true liturgy and makes all Christians priests, so that they may offer not money or cattle, as priests do in the law, but their own bodies. By putting on their desires to death, next he describes the outward conduct of a Christian who lives and is governed by the Spirit. He tells how they teach, preach, rule, serve, give, suffer, love, and act towards friends, foes, and everyone. These are the works that a Christian does. For, as I have said, faith is not idle. I love that. That is just like such a clear and concise synopsis of Romans chapter 12. So today, if you want to follow along, we're in Romans 12. We're going to be verses 14 through 21. And this presents a powerful call for all believers to live out the gospel through a very radical, and when I say radical, I'll tell you what, that poor word has been abused, right? You know, rad and stuff like that. When I say radical, totally different love that we have for each other. It's that agape love, right? The love that gives without wanting something in return. And it's radical love, radical forgiveness, and peace, especially to those that oppose us and hurt us. This is a hard one. This is a hard one for all of us to learn from, but we'll get there. In this passage, the Apostle Paul lays out practical steps embodying Christ-like attitudes in our relationship to both friends and foe. Okay? Let me go ahead and I will read 14 through 21, so if you want to follow me. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. By being of the same mind toward one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble. Do not be wise in your own mind, never paying back evil for evil to anyone, respecting what is good in the sight of all men. If it possible, as far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge, beloved. Instead, leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For doing so will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, first we're going to talk to Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Paul is instructing believers to respond to persecution with blessing. Is that a natural part of our human anatomy? Absolutely not. And this is all through this, because what do we want to do? Tit for tat, right? You know, you say, you slander me, I'm going to slander you. You do this, I'm going to do that, right? And it's not natural for us to respond to persecution with a blessing. But we also need to stand back and see where this person is coming from. They might be coming from ignorance. It might just be plain pure evil that they're coming from. But we as followers of Christ must step back and realize that. And this isn't like, you know, forget that they're doing it, you know, and push it to the side. Let, you know, I'm like, I've been accused of like the duck that lets the water roll off the back of its back. Don't do that. Think about where that person's coming from. And that gives you a point of prayer. That gives you a point to come to the Lord, come to his throne with petitions for this person. That is not easy, because that goes against all of our wanting to strike back, right? In 44 and 45, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies." Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me go back. So Jesus said this in Matthew 5:44 through 45. In 44 it says, "But Jesus," this is Jesus talking, "but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Again, goes against our grain, as we're sinful human beings. We don't want to do that. First thing we want to do is just get angry and rage. So that you may be, now this is where it's really humbling to us, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Be Christ-like in these situations. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteousness, on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's that common grace that we share in. This is the person who might be persecuting you that's living the high life, and you're struggling. And you know, you just think, why this is so unfair? Why is this person moving forward? And they have all the things and all this stuff, you know, and such. Well, the time's coming, right, for reckoning. And even in our poorness or whatever you may be in deficit of, as a believer in Christ, we have glory to look forward to. This world is going to persecute you. It is going to beat you up. Nowhere in Scripture does it say life gets easier when you become one of God's. We die a little bit every day for Him. So the application here is pray for those who mistreat you. And sometimes it's hard to even speak well of them, because sometimes we're in a position of maybe we can look past where they're at. Maybe it's a moment in time. I'm not saying give excuse to their sin, but I said maybe it's a moment in their time that you can think through and even think, you know what? I need to pray for this person. They are in error. They're wrong. I just pray that the Lord opens their eyes. So next is Romans 12:15. This is, I titled this one, Empathy and Community. Empathy is another one of those words that I misuse because, you know, I feel what you feel. I can never truly feel what you feel. But you know, the Lord calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's one thing I got to say. Christ the Rock has this one down. So many brothers and sisters have reached out when we are rejoicing and rejoice with us. And when we're in the weeping mode, maybe just the loss of Deb's mom, you guys came around and you wept with us. That was so endearing to us. So we celebrate others when we rejoice with them. It's success without envy. And I say success without envy because it's really easy. I've been there where you see somebody get promoted or move forward, and you're thinking, I should be in that spot. And, you know, you got to swallow your pride and rejoice with them. You know, that this is a good thing for them. And mourn with those who mourn, show compassion, and share in others' pain. Sometimes that's really awkward for us, right? We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. Just be there. Be there. Love on them. Care for them. So the application here is practice active listening. I tell you, that is so hard. That is one of my detriments, is truly listening and bringing things in and being present in the moment of this person's life. Be emotionally available for people. I mean, we're really good at always saying, hey, how's it going? Oh, we're doing good. Done, right? What about when you say, hey, how are you doing? And you see the countenance change on a person's face. And you go, oh, okay, let's talk. Or let's schedule some coffee time or something. It sounds like we need to discuss this. But it's to be there, really, really be there. We've got a lot of service, right, that we do. But it's truly being there for those you want to rejoice with and those that you will weep with. Next is 12:16, we're pursuing harmony and humility. Harmony and humility. It says, by being of the same mind towards one another, not being haughty in mind, but associating with the humble. Do not be wise in your own mind. Okay? Avoid division and strife for unity. Avoid division and strife for unity. Reject pride. Value others. Be willing to associate with those of low position. I've seen this in all walks of life, especially work life, right? Is that, you know, you get these uppity-up leaders, and that's not really being a leader, but they become like the untouchables, right? And it's just, you've got to be able to associate with everybody. Everybody's part of this world. Everybody's made in the image of God. And, you know, like I just prayed for, you know, salvation, you know, sharing the gospel. We need to share the gospel with all these people, no matter where they're at, high or low. Don't be wise in your own mind. I've seen this as, and I've said this before, I've seen this really interesting in the Reformed community, where people would become so book smart that they can't wait until somebody slips up on something to go down their throat, you know, and correct them, to show, look what I know, look what I know. You've got to not be wise in your own eye. Not being haughty in mind. Haughty meaning puffed up, right? That you think, I'm smarter than everybody in this room, right? And so that is really important. And, you know, this is great practical teaching from Paul, right? Going back to the beginning, it says, therefore. Paul gave all this at the beginning from Romans 1 through 11. And then, boom, we're right here in the middle. This is how a Christian should live, right? This is all practical living stuff coming from the scripture. Responding to evil with good. This is Romans 17 through 19, and we're going to park here a little bit. Never paying back evil for evil to anyone. Respecting what is good in the sight of all men. If possible, so far it depends upon you, being at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge, beloved. Instead, leaving room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No retaliation. Don't repay evil for evil. Okay? That doesn't mean you sit there and take it and get beat up by it. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more, because a lot of times I was sharing with Pastor in my study, a lot of these sites, you know, you balance the good stuff and the bad stuff. The bad stuff out there, they really use this part for being a pacifist, right? Of just letting everything go and don't do anything. But you got to read the words. Don't repay evil for evil. Is a Christian ever supposed to be evil? Never. Never. We're not supposed to do the tit for tat. We're not supposed to let our pride get the best of us to where we're going to go back on the attack and we're going to give that person even worse what they gave us. That is not the Christian way of doing things. So if we leave vengeance to God, we may never see that. We might be beat up, bloody at the side of the road, and that person walks off and we never see them again. But trust me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And do what is right. Aim to be honorable in the eyes of everybody. Reputation is everything. Once you have a scorned reputation, it's just like trust. If you break your trust with somebody, it is so hard to bring that back. So we need to be honorable in the eyes of all. In our actions, in our deeds, in our speech, in wherever we're at, right? Live at peace. You know, as much as it depends on you, pursue peace with everyone. You know, the opposite of that is we always have the person that likes to stir the pot. That gets in the middle of the situation and kind of wedge themselves in, say some things, and then back out and watch the infighting happen. We see that all the time. But here, we're supposed to pursue peace with everyone. These are not hard things to do. It's easy to say. It's easy to read the scripture. But they're very, very hard to put in practice. And the only way you can put this in practice is to really ruminate on these scriptures. When you read them, really think through them. And the application here is to forgive offenses and commit to peacemaking even when it's costly. Even when it's costly. Guys, I talk to you, it's so easy to that warrior spirit to rise up and we want to strike, right? Instead of being at peace. You know, look at Jesus is an incredible example of that. As much as he was slighted, you know, and look at his demeanor through all of that. The creator of the world, this is something that we need to strive to do, to be at peace. Even when it's costly, right? And then overcoming evil with good. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I still can't say that without thinking of that Steve Green song that the kids used to sing. So this is practical compassion. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. You know, that whole heaping coals on top of the head. If you're just nice to a person that you know hates you or has something against you, they're not going to like that. And I'm not talking about a fake nice. I'm talking like you be hospitable and nice to that person. Again, this goes against every grain of the human aspect because it is like, it's easier said than done. When somebody's mean to us, mistreats us, it's really easy to want revenge. But what does the word say? Feed them, thirsty, give them a drink. And what's it say? It'll heap burning coals on his head. It will definitely, might burn that person up, but it also might bring them to a realization of what they're doing to you. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is practical compassion. Choose good over evil. Trusting God will work through it despite of your actions. But sometimes your actions aren't the greatest in the world. But choose good over evil. Don't go straight to revenge. Do good over evil. Look for tangible ways to serve even those who oppose you. I had a lesson in this years ago. I had a manager when I worked at Land O'Lakes who was pretty off the hook, crazy, and obnoxious. And I really didn't like him. And everything I wanted to do in the networking world and stuff like that, he opposed. He had the, and he really, you know, so I was what was called a Novell certified engineer, right? He called it novel. And it just, that ripped me the wrong way. But, you know, he would be trying to tell me how to do my job. And he was in a position of authority. But, man, I was just burning up with just, I don't like this guy. You know, get me away from him. We were at a dinner at church, and I started, like, spewing. And this guy says, wow. He says, you think that guy might be going through something? First of all, I want to say I don't care. That was my first reaction. I don't care. But, you know, he changed my position on it by using this verse, and it's like, man, I didn't want to hear that. Don't do that to me. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to act this out. I want to be angry. And you know what? It changed my perspective on who he was. And so I looked for ways where it says to help him out. I wasn't doing it to heap the burning coals on top of his head. I was actually like, okay, he's my senior, he's my manager, and yes, you might say novel instead of novel, and he might just be micromanaging, but what are ways that I can help him? Come to find out, I didn't realize this, he started riding a bike to work, and I thought it was because of health reasons. No, he had his license taken away. He's what you call a functional alcoholic. Didn't know that. But I was able to talk to him and share with him and help him out. And in the long run, we actually had a good relationship after that. So showing kindness can convict and soften hearts. Showing kindness. That is, and especially, you know, to us guides, right? That is a hard thing to do, is to show that kindness. Especially if we're being scorned, right? So Romans 12, 14 through 21 challenges us to embody the radical love of Christ. Blessing instead of cursing. Emphasizing with others, pursuing humility and peace. These are all lofty goals, and I'm sure we'll be talking about these things at the men's retreat, right? Overcoming evil with good. This is how the world sees the reality of the gospel in our lives. By us living out these pages, these verses in Romans chapter 12. So, let's ask for God, for the grace and strength to live these out daily. And it's going to take over reading these over and over and over again and weaving them into your life. And the Holy Spirit will help you get through all of this. And I'm sure with me talking, everybody's kind of gone back to that point in their life when they were angry at somebody, or somebody was doing bad to you on purpose, and, you know, how did I react to that? How should I react to that? Pray for that person. Pray for those people. Now, one thing that I had gotten out of this and saw a lot of, I think, heretical writings on, which this is a great reason for pacifism. And if you don't know what pacifism is somebody does bad to me, and I just stand there and take it. Somebody does bad to my family, and I just let them take it. Because I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm not supposed to retaliate. Are Christians called to be pacifists? Absolutely not. We are not. What we're not supposed to do is repay evil for evil. First of all, if we are saved, evil should not be in our vocabulary. It shouldn't be a part of us. And it made me think about, well, has there been times in this life when pacifism actually worked? And one of the things that really came to mind was a gentleman called Desmond Doss. There's a movie that was out a while back called Hacksaw Ridge. And he was a conscientious objector. I think he was a Latter-day Saint. And he refused to pick up a gun. And he became a medic. Well, what they called Hacksaw Ridge, for 12 hours, he would crawl up this ridge, it was a netting, and go into this battlefield where all the American armed forces were getting mowed down. It was horrible. It was a massacre by the Japanese. And he pulled out 75 people in 12 hours. He got shot in the arm. He got shrapnel in his leg from a grenade. But that's really not pacifism, is it? That's true heroism going into doing that. And then the other example is of a pacifist, was a pacifist, was Sergeant York, Sergeant Alvin York during World War I. If you've never seen Sergeant York, it's a black and white, I think it's Cary Grant, it's definitely worth the watch. But he came in to the office and was meeting with the sergeant, explained his whole thought on pacifism, you know, why he shouldn't pick up a gun and shoot. And it's really interesting. The sergeant's like, hey, I'm a Christian too, and here's what I do. And they kind of came at a little bit of an impasse. And he let Alvin York go home for 5 days, which the orderly, after he walked out of the room, he says, that guy's never going to come back. And you know, he's like, no, I see character in this person. He came back. Alvin York came back, and he decided to fight. He felt like if he fought for it, because it was a just cause, and if he could save other men's lives, you know, other men's lives, he would do it. He was so successful that at one point, 132 Germans surrendered to him after a firefight with him. It's amazing. You know, and you know, at this point, if you haven't heard Pastor Austin's God and Government series, that's kind of rife with these type of stories and thoughts. But you know, what did Jesus say about pacifism? That's important, right? That's the most important thing we know. I gave you a couple of good stories, human stories, but what did Jesus say about it? And he said unto them, when I sent you out without money, without a money belt and a bag and sandals, did you lack anything? And the disciples said, nothing. He said to them, but now whoever has money belt has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword should sell his garment and buy one. Now what's Jesus saying? He knew they were going to be on a perilous journey. We all know about the story of the Good Samaritan. What happened there? These people were laying in wait for anybody coming through these pathways to rob and kill them. And he knew that they're going to be coming in through with their money belt. So Jesus said, you're allowed to defend yourself. There's no pacifism there. You're allowed to defend yourself. We're allowed to protect ourselves to death, to protect ourselves, our families that are in harm's way. There's no doubt about that. We can, in good conscience, take up arms against evil and tyranny and those forces that are clearly going against the statue of God. So, let's take these last part of Romans 12, 14 through 21. I challenge each of you guys to read this because it, like I said, it kind of goes against the grain, especially if you're in a battle now with somebody. It's even more pertinent. It's a real thing that you're living through right now. Now, to those that might be here, I've been talking to the believers. To those here that don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't pull it off. Cry out to the Lord. It says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Please cry out to the Lord. Take account of where you are. I know after I cried out to the Lord, it was a change in my life that I can't even really explain. It is supernatural, right? That changing of that heart from a heart of rock to flesh. Kids here, think about this. Are you serving the Lord? Are you really His? don't ride in on your parents' coattails. You can't do that. This is all God's calling into your life. Cry out to Him today. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we come before You. And Lord, we thank You for these practical teachings. And that what You teach us, Lord God, is so hard to put into practice. As we still, the old man and the new man, still fight. And we still battle. But Lord, in the end, You're the Redeemer. You win. Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. Lord, be with us and guide us and direct us through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be humble in the way we treat others, even if we're being treated wrongly. And guide and direct us in every step of the way through Your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Austin Hetzler is the pastor of Christ the Rock Church of Amherst, Ohio. The church and its ministries are based on an unwavering commitment to accurately representing God's Word. We also passionately believe in engaging the present culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This recorded message is an ongoing ministry of Christ the Rock Church. We are committed to teaching and distributing the truth of the gospel according to the Bible, for the benefit and furtherance of Christ's kingdom. We pray that the Lord will use our pulpit ministry to either effect your salvation or increase the strength and faith of your ongoing sanctification in Christ Jesus. If this message has blessed you and you wish to monetarily support our pulpit ministry, please visit our website at christrockchurch.com and locate the donate button located on each page. Thank you, and may God bless you.